always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
All right, let's go ahead and answer this from Viva Exceptionalism. Anthony, or is Tony okay? You know what's funny? All right, so you guys know me obviously as Anthony. For one thing, very, very, very few people in my actual life call me Anthony, and zero people call me Tony. It's not that I don't like Tony. I'm not really all that particular about like how people talk. Or not how people talk to me, but like what they call me in terms of my name. I've never really cared all that much. The only time that I would say I was very particular about like my name was, or I needed to go by a certain name was in kindergarten, and it wound up sticking with me well beyond kindergarten. But Anthony was a long name for me to spell, so I just went with Fred. And that was, and now Frederick is my middle name. So like, that's where it comes from. But vast majority of my friends and family and neighbors and stuff like that, they call me Fred. And I left Anthony to be a professional thing. And yeah, literally nobody in my life calls me Tony. And actually, more I think about it, I don't really like the name Tony. It sounds very like Goodfellas. All right. So, agree that the starting unit should change, but that won't solve the Lakers' biggest problem, the lack of speed and athleticism. That lack begins with LeBron, then Rui, then Austin. So in a sense, Rich Paul is right, but are his comments hurting team chemistry because players will feel they're coming from LeBron? Also, don't see one move, even two, that will solve the issue so long as LeBron is playing 30-plus minutes a night. Better to wait until the offseason and he's off of the books. Great show as always. Thank you very much for the questions. So, one, I do think, now I don't think it's actually impacting the Lakers' chemistry. I think the chemistry is a little too strong for this. But I think it's a really bad look for Rich Paul to have this show. And he just keeps saying stuff like it's kind of the Patrick Beverly thing where producers and the people who are in charge of these shows recognize that maybe the best way to make sure that like your show goes viral and the clips that you grab from that show go viral, probably the best way to do that is to include the Lakers in the headline of those clips, which means that you get a lot of people talking about the Lakers. And in this case, you have Rich Paul talking about the Lakers as if he's just some random Joe Schmo who watches the Lakers a time or two a week. But no, like he has direct access to all of the interested parties here. And he has, I wouldn't say that he and LeBron have anywhere near the same input that they had before, but at one point they had a ton of input on this Lakers organization. And I don't know if part of the reason he's doing this is because he no longer has that amount of input anymore. But regardless, like on a lot of these off days, people go to like Rich Paul's podcast and they try to find something that they can aggregate from it. And, you know, they just say if it says Rich Paul says this about the Lakers, what does this mean? Like, as soon as you go there, that clip is going to be, is going to go viral. That clip is going to be, you know, make the rounds and we're going to wind up having to talk about it. And if I were Rich Paul and my top client was playing on a team that I am becoming a distraction for, I obviously don't think Rich is ever going to be fired by LeBron. But I also think Rich is kind of taking some stuff for granted that he probably shouldn't. So, no, I don't think it's impacting chemistry, but I do think it's a really dumb thing for Rich Paul to do. It's also like, how much money could you possibly be making here? Like, I don't see it, you know? I don't know. All right, so I'm going to scroll up to the top and I'm going to answer as many questions as I possibly can between now and the next 20 minutes. Small guy 6x2798, small guys writes, go tell the Lakers to do something. I'm bored. If I could, if I had that amount of power and input with the Lakers, I would guarantee that the Lakers would definitely not be boring. Mike in Philly writes, we had a pod of orca in our local bay over the weekend. Should I have tried to swim with them? So the funniest thing about killer whales is there are no cases of them harming people in the wild. All of the cases where they have attacked somebody, you know, meaning their teeth are clamped around a person. Because there were those orcas in like the Spanish seas that were attacking boats. And I do think some people got hurt in some of those, but that was more because the boat sank than it was like the orcas literally hunting them. Like that is, it's never happened. And it's the weirdest thing that probably the best hunter in the natural world, and like humans are not very good in water. Like that's some easy meals. And you would think that at some point, even accidentally, an orca would like take a nibble out of a person and just say, oops, sorry. And then kind of go on their way. Or like an older orca that was having trouble eating, you know, or hunting would, you know, see a person there and say, I mean, really hungry. But it hasn't happened. It's the craziest thing. The only time that they attack people is in captivity. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they're in captivity and they aren't meant to be in captivity. So, Mike in Philly, if you chose to go swimming with those orca, there's a decent chance that you would have had the experience of a lifetime and almost no chance that they would have turned around and done something to you. Now, I probably wouldn't like jump into the water on top of an orca and like try to startle it. Like that, that seems like a really dumb thing to do and frankly illegal. But overall, like if you happen to be in the water and you see a big shape like that and it winds up being an orca, you're safe. It's the craziest thing. It's part of why they're my favorite animal, is because it's just like at no point have they done that. And it makes no sense whatsoever that they haven't done that. You know, we've hunted them. You know, humans have hunted orca, but for some reason they just don't do it. It makes zero sense whatsoever. And they are much better than we are. Smitty 1335, realistic trade deadline deals for the Lakers to make us more competitive. I would say like a name that I've been told to keep on my radar is like Sadiq Bey. He's come up on this podcast a couple of times and I've asked about him and was told pretty definitively that like, yeah, he has some fans in the Lakers organization. So, you know, a player of that ilk is probably where they will start. And then, especially if like Giannis gets traded or he, you know, makes it known that he only wants to go to the East Coast and that the Lakers don't have a chance, in getting him. If that is how that plays out, then the Lakers would escalate their trade, targets from there. But as it stands right now, you're probably looking at, you know, expiring money, a second round pick, maybe a pick swap, and you go out there and you see if you can bring in a wing that is around like Austin and Luka's age. And preferably that wing is an athlete who can shoot a little bit, maybe kind of a cast off kind of player. Those are the kinds of moves that I would say the Lakers are probably going to be focused on right now, And then as we get closer to the deadline and as we get closer to some kind of outcome with this Giannis stuff, then we'll talk about different targets at that point. Let's see. Next question here comes from Storikian. Who do you think the Lakers would be the best case realistic trade target? Best case. So I'm guessing in this case, you have the Lakers giving up a first round pick, right? Because you're not getting a best case type player without trading a first round pick. Or maybe that I'll answer it with giving up a first round pick and without giving up a first round pick. With giving up a first round pick, I would say Herb Jones is probably best case scenario. And then without giving up a first round pick, I would say Keon Ellis is about as good as you can do without giving up a first. And Ellis might be stretching it a little bit because of how many teams like him. Maybe Terrence Mann is another guy. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is somebody who the Lakers are going to check in on. And I neither Mann or KCP would cost you a first. So those are the types of names that you're kind of looking at there. And then again, once we get some kind of resolution with Giannis, then the Lakers will either pull the first round pick altogether in an effort to go out and get Giannis eventually, or they will find out that Giannis is only focused on the East Coast. And, they're at that point, they put a first round pick on the table and can get significantly better talent in doing so. Brad CYR 6071, projecting forward, the Lakers have two stars in their mid 20s for the future. But unlike Boston, Houston, San Antonio, and OKC, we don't have a bunch of assets. How can they keep up? It's a great question, and it's part of why I am always kind of reluctant to go so far off the handle and say Rob Pelinka's the GOAT, as a lot of people in Lakers Twitter tend to want to do. I would say, like, how will they compete? How will they keep up? They're going to rely on Lakers exceptionalism, and they're going to rely on the infrastructure that is going to be built under Mark Walters' watch. And they're going to maximize, to a greater degree, the talent that they acquire compared to this point where like, let's just say Dalton Knecht gets drafted by a Mark Walter organization. I don't think Dalton would have fallen off of a cliff in the same way with a Mark Walter organization as he has with a Jeannie Buss organization. And that is one way that you can kind of catch back up to some of your competition, even while you have limited assets, is by making absolutely sure that your return in giving up those assets is absolutely maximized. So that's one way. The other way is how close is Luka to those types of players that you're talking about, if Luka is ever able to become the best player in the league, then that's the grand equalizer, at least for a little while the Lakers kind of build up their infrastructure. So I would say, first and foremost, the number one way that I think the Lakers will be able to catch up is by trading Jeannie's stewardship for Mark Walter's stewardship. And I think that is a huge wild card here that probably leans heavily in the Lakers' favor. And then from there, it's just, whenever you do use draft capital on stuff, don't let that return walk out the door for nothing. Dorian Finney-Smith comes to mind. Jordan Goodwin comes to mind. So on and so forth. We'll see how successfully the Lakers are able to do that. Happy holidays, Anthony. Thank you for all you do. Thank you very much, Young Sweet Jones 93. Christian Navarro 8295. Rui, Gabe, Maxi, and Dalton are the most expendable, right? Rui is complicated, I would say, because he has some real fans up at the top of the Lakers organization. But the other guys mentioned here, Gabe, I know that the Lakers as a team and, you know, coaching staff, all that stuff, really, really like Gabe. As I said last night, I think he might be addition by subtraction, just in that I think he is used too much. And if they were able to turn him into a player who is more realistically utilized, then that would help the Lakers quite a bit. Maxi, Dalton, you know, Maxi's just an expiring contract. Dalton has money on the books for next season too. But he's young enough and at one point flash enough talent that maybe some team convinces itself that, you know, he is worth taking a flyer on. I actually think, you know, it's the Lakers announced that Adu Thero and Dalton Connect are going to be assigned to the South Bay Lakers. They just announced that before I went live. And I really think a big part of why they're doing that with Dalton is to show, you know, Dalton is going to play all of the G League is affiliated with some NBA team. And so Dalton is basically going to be taken on like a tour, or made available to all these teams and like, hey, look at this guy. And I think the G League is a playing style that lends itself really well to Dalton's game. And I think the hope will be that by getting Dalton some minutes down there with the G League, that some franchise basically goes like, man, are you really can't get anything out of this guy? And maybe becomes more open to Dalton being seen as a net neutral or maybe slightly net positive asset. Whereas like right now, he's pretty deep in the negative asset range. Next question here comes from David Saucedo, 48.97. You would have to give up Luka. The Bucks would be a fool to give him up for anything less. You know, you don't have to give up Luka to get Giannis. No, not especially not if Giannis is still intent on being traded. Like there's no way that the Lakers would have to trade Luka. I might even go so far as to say that there might be a way to get Giannis without Reeves. And that is certainly going to be what the Lakers, you know, that's their first not priority, but their first, you know, conversation that they have with Milwaukee is like, all right, what would it take to get Giannis? Can we get Giannis without Reeves? It will be the second follow-up question. And we'll see how that plays out. But as it stands right now, I would say that I would be absolutely gobsmacked if the Lakers needed to include Luka to get Giannis. That is never how these things go. Hell, I remember when the Lakers traded Shaq, and Shaq was pretty freaking good when they traded him. Eventually won a championship with Miami. But when the Lakers traded Shaq, they called, you know, Miami called and they were like, all right, you guys want Shaq? We really like this Dwayne Wade kid that you guys have. And Pat Riley was like, you can keep liking him, but you're not getting him. Can we interest you in a mildly used Lamar Odom? And Odom wound up being the centerpiece of that trade. And that is oftentimes how these things go. The Lakers had to trade Shaq. The Bucks, if Giannis goes to them and says like, hey, I don't want to be here anymore, they would then be operating from a point of little leverage. And, you know, no matter who trades for Giannis, they aren't giving up their best player for him. Let's see. Next question comes from Christian Navarro, the Bucks lost by 30 yesterday. Yeah, they're a mess. Absolute mess. Appetizers and sushi. We need to make trades around the margins. We have enough star power on our our team. Yeah, that's why I like the Sadiq Bey play quite a bit. You know, he's like 6'7", chiseled athlete, high motor dude. That's somebody who I've kind of talked myself into. And yeah, I don't know. Like, because the next question here is from Christian Serafin. Waiting on Giannis is so dumb. I agree. Like, it waiting on Giannis has legitimately cost the Golden State Warriors a significant amount of Steph Curry's prime. And, you know, waiting on not just Giannis, but then also they compounded that problem by waiting on all of those like second timeline guys to pop. And none of them really have popped, right? James Wiseman, basically a bust out of the league almost altogether. Moses Moody has shown some flashes here and there, but really not the solid player that they thought he could maybe be. Obviously Jonathan Kuminga, you know, they're just counting down the days until they can trade him. Just because of the mess that he and that relationship with him and that team has become. So you know, the Warriors have waited for Giannis for the amount that they have and have nothing at all to show for it. And I would prefer that the Lakers use the Warriors as a cautionary tale and just focus on surrounding LeBron and Austin and Luka with, you know, decent athletes who can also finish a little bit, get after it defensively. That's what I would be focused on, not Giannis so much. All right. Let's see. I think I'm going to call it here in a second. We do have a ton of questions though. So I'm going to try to rapid fire here. Ready? Dark Galaxy 9936. They could only offer one first round pick. Their swaps aren't worth a lot. Yeah, I mean, like, that's the case with anybody who is acquiring a Giannis or acquired a Luka. At one point, Lakers pick swaps were seen as really, really valuable. Just like all of the Lakers' future draft capital was seen as really valuable. Then you trade for Luka Doncic and raise your floor to an extent where a lot of that draft capital is no longer as valuable. And it makes it so that you really wasted a lot of those opportunities, you know, drafting a Jalen Huccifino or drafting a Dalton Connect, when you probably should have just traded those picks back when teams wanted your picks from however far out. Camaso one, if the Bucks make the significant trade, do you think the Lakers keep their picks until summer in hoping that the trade doesn't work? Man, I hope not. Like, I'm just going to be honest. I want nothing to do with waiting on Giannis Antetokounmpo and basically skipping out on the opportunity that sits right there in front of them now. Because frankly, not a lot that I've heard is like, would make me super optimistic that the Lakers would be able to get this guy. And I actually think if the Lakers, you know, let's say the Knicks find out that the list is still just them and they have to find a way to trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that requires expiring money and that requires first round draft capital and stuff like that. If I'm the Lakers, and I guarantee you the San Antonio Spurs or the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're going to, you know, call up whoever is pulling off that Giannis trade. And they're going to say, like, all right, how can we help? How can we grease the wheels here to help you guys pull this off? By the way, it's going to cost a shit ton because we know what you have riding on figuring out a trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I would like for the Lakers to see if they can duck in and take advantage of some of the desperation surrounding this entire deal. That just isn't really how they have ever operated though. So I think hubris might get in the way there. Let's see. if DK is the salary piece at the deadline, would you go for a low three, a low key 3-and-D wing like Jacoby Walker or Josh Green or someone like Obi Toppin? I'm big on Obi's fit. I don't think Obi is going anywhere. I think they really, really like him in Indiana, and they don't want to completely reinvent that roster while Halliburton is out. So I don't think Obi is going to be available. Josh Green is somebody is an interesting name there. He played with Luka at one point before, has the tools to be a really good defender. I can kind of see a path to him being a good NBA player. Jacoby Walker, like any player who has Kobe in their name, that guy should be on your radar for the Lakers, just as a general rule. Next question here comes from Giannis said he wants a big market contender in a sunny state. Yeah, I saw that Chris Haynes thing. Chris Haynes has been all over the story. Giannis is talking to him and only him specifically. So that has made Haynes he's always a must follow anyway, but he for damn sure is a must follow while he's keeping an eye on this deal. I don't know. I just think the Heat make the most sense when it comes to boxes that they can check for Giannis. No, I don't think they can put together the best draft haul of any of the teams unless they include Khalil Ware, which they have been kind of reluctant to do to this point. And then on top of it, like Miami as a city has a nice climate. It's maybe one of the most beautiful cities in the country. And you're already on the East Coast, which makes it a nice, easier flight to Greece from where they're at. So yeah, if I had to guess where Giannis winds up, I would probably say Miami. The problem with Miami though, is as I've been talking about now for a while, their front office isn't necessarily on the same page, and it makes it really difficult to trade for a guy like Giannis when not everybody is seeing fully eye to eye. I think that's going to do it. Whoa, man, we have a, yeah. All right. I'll answer one more. Syscole 2831. Why did it feel like we didn't care too much about the first when trading for Mark Williams, but now we want a bona fide championship move. The difference is Giannis, I would say. That would be, the biggest difference is that, Giannis is going to be available, and that the Lakers feel like they have a chance on Giannis. And until they find out they don't, that bar for trading a first round pick is going to remain really, really high. All right. It's funny just hearing Jen like say, hey, how's Avery feeling? I already feel myself getting more congested over the course of the show. God, I better not get freaking sick. That would be such a bummer. But I already kind of feel it in my throat and I feel like I'm plugging up. So I'm going to go ahead and take some meds and see if I can get out ahead of this thing. So thank you everybody for your questions. This was really, really fun. A reminder, hit me with questions in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes, and that is the best way to get your topic covered on the show. Again, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. And until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.